Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a warm welcome to Adrian, Astral Mind 2012. Adrian, are you there?
That's right, tonight.
And what's on the agenda for tonight, Adrian?
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about Soulcologist tonight and Sacred Contract.
And, I think we should talk a little bit about that and then maybe talk a little bit about the paranormal.
Yeah, we can do that too, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'd first like to talk a little bit about sacred contracts and how we came about to learn about sacred contracts. And I'd like to talk about how we met Diana Sue, which was from originally from the UK, and how she came here to Utah, and she's lived here for a while. And me and Roy ran into her in a bookstore called the Golden Braid Bookstore. And it was very interesting how right away she connected with our energy, and she started talking about the Sacred Contracts book, how we all made a soul agreement when we came here with other individuals, and then that soul agreement, we all made a what they call a sacred contract. And then we began to learn more about the archetypes on how they affect us and how they help us in life and how we work with these archetypes. And these archetypes we also had a sacred contract with. And I think there's a lot of other things out there, not just archetypes that we made a soul agreement with, but it seems like we've made several different kinds of sacred contracts that we made with people and different individuals. So, did you want to talk a little about that, Roy?
Yeah, that is so interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about the archetypes?
Well, archetypes are really interesting things, you know, guides, how we all came up with different guides that we work with regards to our sacred contract. You know, it could be a, for an example, if you had an archetype that was a librarian, then that librarian would be represent your record keeper. And that record keeper would go into the McKistic records, people that would access these records to bring forth information from the other side, just like this Daryl that we met. He would be one of the archetypes that was probably sent for me in another life, which he told me. And he would be one of my archetypes in this lifetime. They can also come in human form, too. I think not just from this side, but from the other side, and these angels or even the fallen that have come here can be archetypes. So it just kind of depends on what contracts you have with those certain individuals. Just like, you know, how I told you I met Will, he was a fallen angel in another life, and somehow he brought that energy forth into the present. So therefore, that made him the fallen. But at the same time, he held certain, these angels held certain positions in those sacred contracts. So when you understand their sacred contract and you write it up, then that was their archetypes and stuff like that. And that's how it was supposed to work when you read the book.
Can these archetypes be special characters like superheroes or somebody like that?
They can. I also think those energies are very real too. Because whatever we perceive to be real is what our mind plays out to be real. because not only we're manifesting the things to be real, but we're actually focusing our energy and we're bringing that energy into life. We're turning it into life. So if God can create this world into energy, and he can create the universe in this energy, in his image, so therefore, in his image, we can also create those energies, but we can create a lot more energies. And I think that it goes all the way back to the time of Greek mythology. I think it goes way, way back from astrology, just like this guy I was talking to, this client, we were talking about that, about the planets and the stars, what is that called?
Oh, astrology?
Astrology, what? How astrology goes all the way back, just like sacred contracts.
Oh, okay.
And the Mayan calendar, you know how they talk about the Mayan calendar.
So what you're saying that this can go back thousands of years then?
Absolutely. I think it goes all the way back before the Egyptian times, these archetypes do, and sacred contracts. Because if you think about it, they were using contracts, the gods were using contracts to decide on different things, just like that's why they have the fates. And the fates were there to decide who was going to play what role and who was going to play what dharma or and karma and archetypes and sacred contracts. And, you know, contracts have been going on for centuries, even before the time of creation. That's my theory on it.
And that's so interesting. I mean, we know that... you know, even people, you know, I've even seen or heard of stories on the internet in a town about Madonna that she has a strong, you know, connection with Isis, the goddess.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they were telling about this NFL, you know, you know, at halftime, you know, when they had her come out and she was dressed up like a goddess. And I think, you know, a lot of people think she was doing some kind of ritual so that, you know, Isis can return.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, you know, that could be one of her archetypes too.
It can be.
I mean, it could even be an archetype, can even be an ascended master.
It could be anything that your mind perceives to be real.
Right.
And that's how I see an archetype, you know.
So would you say that an archetype is almost is similar to the dream state?
I would say it is, because a dream state is an energy.
Yeah.
And if a dream state is an energy, then it's a dimension.
Yeah.
So it's a different state of consciousness. So
right.
It definitely is another world that we can all enter into that dimension. And I don't know what the dream state dimension is, but it is definitely an energy that is real. And it's realer than this world. And it's interesting how we can access through that grid to come off this grid into that reality, into that dimension. And some people say when you go into your dream state, you can also bring those energies out on the outside into reality from your dreams. That's why they say it's important to dream positive dreams, because you're bringing that energy forth into this existence.
Wow. So would you say that a lot of, you know, when we're in the dream state, that there's a lot of messages that are being, you know, given to us so that, you know, it can help us with whatever we might be going through in this reality?
Absolutely. And that's why it's important that a dream can be an archetype, because it does help us into this reality. because it brings, it gives us messages, for one. It gives us predictions. It gives us the ability to move through time and space, to actually go to other worlds and explore, rather than feeling like we're restricted here. And that's why hypnosis is so powerful, because it instantly can access that dream state in an instant, almost like taking a remote on the movie, my favorite movie, Stay Tuned. It's like taking a remote and just pushing the channels.
Wow.
And that's pretty much how I would like to describe hypnosis. You're just turning, you're just tuning those channels, that's all you're doing.
Different frequencies, different, you know, well, it could even be a, you know, parallel, you know, dimensions, you know.
With
all these different dimensions. And that's so interesting.
That's true.
Why don't we invite, we have one caller waiting, why don't we invite the caller on and see what their view is on this, and then we can go from there.
Okay.
Let's go ahead with the caller from the 313 area. Hello.
It's odd that you guys... 313,
you're on the air.
Yes, hi, how are you guys doing?
Hi, and what's your name and where are you from?
My name is Chris Shute. I called because, ultimately, I had a very weird dream. I've been going through a serious spiritual transformation where I've been literally meditating and trying to reach a higher level of consciousness with the power of a higher power, basically. And during that time, which was a few days ago, I had a dream that I was literally going to hell, and I actually posted on Yahoo Answers to try and get someone to decipher this dream, and basically I'm laying on the floor and I'm grabbing someone's hand desperately. I didn't know who the person was. It was like a Caucasian guy in a profession. He was like working in a professional state, either a psychologist, a social worker, a bereavement therapist, I'm not sure, but you know.
Hello.
Hello.
It looks like we lost him, Mika.
Did we lose him?
Hopefully they'll come back on the air. But that's interesting. I was getting a lot of visions, you know, from her dream.
Uh-huh.
And what were you picking up on? Okay, there she is. Let's get her back on there. Hello, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I thought I was boring you guys.
No.
I didn't press one this time, but I really like the topic. But ultimately, you seem very knowledgeable. You guys were discussing this subject, and, you know, I was hoping to get some clarity. Ultimately, continue where I left off. Basically, I'm clutching this therapist's hand, and I'm laying on the floor, and like death was imminent, and there was no pleading for my life or anything like that, but ultimately, I was going to hell, and somehow, in my dream state, I knew that I was going to hell, and the only thing I'm telling this person is, please, please, I don't want to go to hell, I don't want to go to hell, and the therapist, or whoever the person was in their capacity, was almost irritated by the statement, as if, like, hurry up and get it on, get over with it, just die already. So ultimately, the conclusion of the dream, I ended up going to hell, literally, and I could feel it wasn't like fire or anything like that or an inferno. It was literally like steam, like my body was in so much pain from steam. And ultimately, I was battling with some worldly issues, like my flesh and being worldly and the strive of success and prosperity and beauty versus, you know, getting into the non-worldly aspect of really just ministering to others and being a positive influence in people's lives instead of just being about me. So I've been kind of torn as I'm reaching for this higher level of consciousness, and whether or not it's real or not. Maybe you guys can help me with that.
Okay, first of all, what I want to do before we go ahead and, you know, interpret what we're getting from your dream, I want Adrian to share a dream that he had just recently.
Awesome. Well, I just wanted to mention that I was also having a really weird dream. I went to this house that was demonic, and in this house, there's a lot of bad entities in that house, and there was dimensions after dimensions, and it was very interesting how every door in that house would create a scenario in my brain of a fear that I would have. And this goes back to kind of like the Greek mythology, because I saw the new Clash of the Titans, and they went inside of this house, this big building, and I like to relate this. I just thought about this, but I like to relate it to the movie, how they went inside this building to get to Hades, you know, to the underworld, and it was a passageway to the underworld. And in this house, it was almost like the way that gods designed it. It was actually, to get to the heart of Hades, they had to go through this maze, and in this maze, there were different doorways, and those dimensions keep changing. But in your mind, in your fears, it co-creates this, almost like this reality, whatever you're afraid of. And when I went inside the house, it scared me. It frightened me that these demonic beings were going to attack me. So I saw these demonic beings coming down from this dimension, and they told me, they said, "Get off our dimension or we will attack you." So, but these beings were demonic. I mean, they were ugly looking, and I think it was part of Hades' underworld. But when I went there to get some information about the house and the maze, I came back into my body because I snapped my finger and I went back into my body, and I felt a pain coming through below my stomach area, like a sharp pain. And I woke up at 5 in the morning, but I prayed myself out of it. I couldn't wake up. I just prayed and prayed to our Heavenly Father, and I said, "Heavenly Father, bring us out. Bring me out of this dream. I don't feel safe here." So Heavenly Father brought me out. I was reaching out to Him.
And tell her about that lady that you talked to.
Oh, and the black lady. Now, this is going to sound interesting to you. There was a goddess by the name of Oshan.
Uh-huh.
And Oshan was, do you know Oshan? Do you know about Oshan?
Not exactly. Enlighten me.
Oshan. That's her name, Oshan. She's a African goddess, and she's a goddess of the sea. And she was explaining to me how the gods designed this house that I went to. And I didn't feel comfortable there because it was a portal to the underworld.
So, oh my God.
That's why I prayed to Heavenly Father and I asked Him to bring me out because I didn't feel safe.
Dude, that's really creepy.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting from both of those dreams is one of the reasons, you know, that we're, you know, experiencing, you know, I mean, this is almost like synchronicity, you know, that you would both have some dream that would be almost similar
absolutely,
to each other.
Absolutely.
And I think these energies are being put out all around, you know, into people's dream state so that, you know, we're in 2012 now and we're going to have to make some really important decisions. You know, who do we, you know, follow?
So, absolutely. Yeah. This is so weird because ultimately I was doing some research and I'm in the process of actually creating a manual. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. A lot of people here are spiritually lost and they're not knowing why the things are going on is taking form. And I want to open up their eyes because power, knowledge is power. And ultimately, I do believe that this is a time to choose. There's a spiritual warfare going on. 2012 is a period where 2012, like you were saying, like it's a period where we have to, whether we're ready or not, reach a psychological consciousness where we're ready to proceed to a higher dimension. The ones that are not ready will be completely lost out here, and the ones that are ready are waking up and achieving additional knowledge and wisdom and a spirit of unconditional love and things of that nature. We don't have much of a choice in the matter, and this is a very interesting topic, and it's really creepy just to know that everyone's having this dream, and it's not just me.
Yeah.
What does
that mean? You remember the movie The Matrix?
Yes.
In the scene where he talks about the red pill and the blue pill.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it is, you know, if you take the red pill, then, you know, you just go to sleep and you wake up after you dream. But if you take the blue pill, now you're going down into the rabbit hole. And a lot of it is, how deep do you want to go?
And you can never.
And I also want to mention one other thing that I was thinking about the Matrix today.
What's that?
Well, it's interesting because when I met with Daryl, I told you about the psychic Daryl. I was taking a shower, and I texted him, and I said, "Daryl, I smell roses." And Daryl laughed, you know, he put a little smiley face on the text, and he laughed. He said, "Ha, ha, ha," like that, you know. And when I got into his car, when he came and picked me up, he handed me a box of roses. And
wow.
I was thinking back to the time of the Matrix when the Oracle said to Neo, she said, "Would have you have broken it anyways if I wouldn't have said anything?"
Whoa.
So, you know, you look back and you get those messages, you know, would he would have broke the vase if she wouldn't have said anything? Would he would have brought me roses if I wouldn't have said anything?
How about this? The weirdest thing is that the world that we thought that we were living in, as far as like we, the people have rights, the people have a voice, or everyone's inherently good, which was originally taught by philosophers and theologians, or, you know, just that we could live, we're humans, we can live, like, continue to repopulate and always be here and things like of that nature. Like, the existence, the reality is that we've all been geared to be robots and programmed through institutions of government, religion, and universities, and we never had a choice to be free thinkers. And they're trying to keep us from being free thinkers and reaching this higher level of dimension, you know, the elite, the reptilians, things of that nature. I don't know if you guys are, you know, into that or whatnot, but
everything,
you know,
that you're talking about, we already, you know, have research into. So you're right in alignment with what we, you know.
Yeah, that's why I like this, and I was just looking so forward to being able to get a voice on here, you know, because I didn't know it was more people in the world that thought about this and knew this to be a reality, and it just feels so good to know that I'm not just in a rabbit hole alone.
No, there's a lot out there, and it's happening all the time. People are beginning to awaken, and people are becoming a lot more aware of what truly is going on.
What's going to happen if more of us become unplugged?
Well, we got to remember that we don't work alone. Just like Adrian was talking about the sacred contracts, before we came to this life, we were assigned different archetypes that work with us. A lot of it depends, you know, how far back, you know, does our past lives go. Me and Adrian found out, you know, from other psychics that we go all the way back to the time of Atlantis and Lemuria.
How do you know what to believe, considering the Bible says considering the Bible says that numerology and astrology, metaphysics, things of that nature, science is demonic. However, you know, I've discovered that some of that has some basis to it. And I've discovered discrepancies in the Bible, but then some of that has some basis to it. Like, where you, how do you know if you're
Well, look at it in this way. Do we have a God, a supreme being that limits us as to what we can learn and what we could research into?
No. He said,
I mean,
that
our mind is
he
endless.
He says that fools will perish for lack of knowledge.
We had all this knowledge before we came here. We're just being reminded. That's why, you know, we can feel that, you know, deep down, you know, knowing that this is the truth, you know.
Wow. Do you believe that things happen by coincidence, or everything that happens is supposed to happen?
For a reason, yeah. Because why do you meet certain people in your life? I mean, there's millions of people out there. Why only certain people?
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
You know, these were people from, you know, that are part of your circle. And, you know, and that's, you met them before, you met them in another lifetime, now you meet them again. And it's all that part of that circle.
Have you discovered what your life path is, like what you were intended to accomplish in this lifetime? I'm still pretty much trying to discover mine. I'm 29 now.
You know, and that's why it's so important to learn as much about past lives as you can. Main thing
is, how would I go about doing that? Some astrology has.
Right, by just focusing on you know, and doing what you're doing now, these people and this information is going to come to you in one way or another.
Okay.
Me and my son Adrian's my son, first got into hypnosis, it seemed like we were meeting, you know, this opened up our mind, you know, our subconscious mind, and we just started getting information after information, and it's amazing. I mean, we love it. I mean, why limit ourselves just to one thing?
Absolutely.
And, you know, and that's where we all have to be, is to keep our mind open and open to all possibilities.
I think this is such an amazing experience. I want to thank you, as well as the other gentleman, for sharing his experience. I'm going to continue listening.
You know, this is why we started this radio show, was to help people to open up, you know. And before we started our Blog Talk radio show, we kept thinking, you know, how can we get this information out there? How can we help, you know, people that are, you know, going through what we were going through in the past? I mean, it wasn't always this way for us, but we were open, you know, to learning and gathering as much information as we could.
Do you believe that the Illuminatis are real, that the hyper-reptilians?
Oh, yeah.
So you believe that it's people that walk on the street right now that is part reptilian?
Oh, yeah. We believe in the ETs. We believe that, have you ever heard of Saint Germain?
I have not.
Okay.
I will start.
That would be a name to start doing some research on.
Okay.
Have you ever been into godlikeproductions.com?
Godlike Productions.
GodlikeProductions.com. And the reason I say that is because everything that we're talking about, there's a lot of people that get on there and they share a lot of information with people there.
Brought Life another, Productions. I'm writing that down now, sir.
Okay. And another one is called The Drudge Report. D-R-U-D-G-E, Drudge Report. .com.
Okay.
And you'll be amazed. You know, I had a close friend that told me about this, and I get so much information out there. And these are a lot of people. You know, you say, well, you know, how many other people? Well, there's thousands out there, you know, that are, you know, awakening and gathering all this information and sharing that with everyone.
And you call that Drudge Life, Drudge Report?
Just the Drudge Report.
And that's D-R-U-D-G-E,
Drudge Report.
So you don't believe that, you know, we're just conspiracy theorists. You believe that there's actually some truth, and the ones that try and say, okay, well, that stuff is not real, that's crazy, that's weird, like, they're just people that just are, like, go by the old-fashioned scientific way of thinking or theological way of thinking.
Okay, let me have you ever experienced a miracle in your life?
Yes, sir, I have. It's quite a few times.
Okay, since you know that, how would you explain that to somebody?
Well, spiritual people say that, oh, it's your testimony. God saved you. And, you know, other people say that it just wasn't your time, you know, or something like that, you know, or you're lucky or blessed or something. I mean, they never attribute it to it happened for a reason or it was supposed to happen or, you know, some type of otherworldly intervention.
Well, the main thing is they could come up with all these different theories, but it all comes down to, you know, what do we believe?
Okay.
I mean, we, you know, all experience something in our life, whether, you know, it be for us to experience in something spirit, you know, spiritual. And it helped us to get past whatever we were going through at that time.
Question for you. Do you believe that the mind can create manifestations? I've thought of things
all the
time.
And
it actually happened. Do you believe that the power is within us?
Okay, let me tell you something. What you think about, you bring about.
Okay.
So we're always manifesting and co-creating all the time.
Well, why is it poor people? Like, why can't poor people or drug addicts or something like that or prostitutes or whatever, why can't they think out of their situation?
The universe don't discriminate. If you focus on poverty, the universe says, okay, I'll send you more poverty.
Wow.
See, it don't discriminate. It's what do we, you know, what desires do we have? You know, where do we want to live? What kind of income do we want to make? You know, what kind of people or jobs or anything, you know, what do we want to manifest into our lives? That's where the focus needs to be.
Okay.
Have you heard of the law of attraction?
Yes, sir, I have.
And see, the way the law of attraction works is that, first of all, you have to be in the right vibration. In other words, you can't be at a lower vibration trying to manifest things because it's not going to happen right away. So you have to get your vibration up.
How would you do such a thing?
By meditation, by, you know, unconditional love, by forgiveness, being in gratitude every day for everything that we have, for the simplest things that we are given in our lives. That's how we get in a higher vibration.
So you guys do hypnosis. Do you guys charge for a session like that?
Well,
how much does a hypnosis session cost?
It's usually about $50 per hour.
Okay, I'd like to do that. I'd like to definitely see what's hitting in my subconscious.
Okay, let me do something real quick. I need to write down your number before I lose you, because right now we're just on recording. We're off the air right now. First of all, give me your first name again.
Angel, A-N-G-E-L.
Okay.
313-412-5004.
Okay, I got it. See, I have your number on my screen. I just wanted to make sure and get that before the recording stops, and then I'll lose you.
And I also have an email address. It's stopwaronblackwomen@yahoo.com.
Okay, and I'll get that information for you when I call you back. And
okay, that would be great. Yeah. I'd definitely like to continue listening in on you, as well as possibly personally networking with you. I believe like the more like minds that come together, the more of a full awakening that we can be, and hopefully I can be your protege and take your knowledge locally within my own community, and be able to effectively explain and to others why what I'm saying is beneficial to their lives. And
I have a question for you. When did you first start taking an interest in this?
Well, I'm 29 right now. I was in the military at 18, and when I got out, I was roughly 22 years old, and I met this much, much older guy. He was a cab driver, and he was a friend. He's like 60 years old at that time, and he would always talk about conspiracies, and I thought he was off the wagon, you know, but he was there for me a lot, very supportive, and I accepted him as he was. But as time went on, I started to do research on what he was saying, and you know, my parents would be like, don't listen to him. He's crazy. He's crazy. He's trying to brainwash you. And on a David Icke site, you know, a guy named British guy, David Icke. And I was researching his life, and I'm saying, okay, this guy was a famous sports commentator. This guy served on the ambassador's board and things of that nature.
Wow.
So this guy can't be crazy, too, you know. And I started to research the British royals and reflect on the creation of America, as well as history of other countries, and just like, okay, wait a minute, this stuff is kind of adding up. And, you know, then I continue to kind of pursue my goals and, you know, things like that. But in the meantime, certain things were sparking interest in the news, and I would go back to it. And, you know, so it's been about 7 years now, about 6 or 7 years. And now that things are actually manifesting, as this guy, David Icke, and the older guy who eventually shot himself, he stated that he didn't want to be here to see what was getting ready to come, and he said that he wanted to be taken away to a higher dimension, and that when his time came, the aliens would come and they would take him on to a higher dimension. He literally put a gun in his mouth and he shot himself. He was around 65, something like that. And I had never forgot him because he was so great and so influential in my life. And now I believe he's left me a torch and a weapon that I'm now grateful to have even ever known him.
Right. That's an amazing story. Have you ever thought of writing a book?
Actually, it's weird that you say that. It's been so compulsive to me that, you know, I do so much research and I would write so many notes down for myself that I look back at it and I'm like, whoa, I got all these pages, and I'm like, this may be what the higher power is instructing me to do. Maybe they equipped me or he equipped me with this information so that I could wake up the people people that are lost in my community, in my city, you know, people that are afraid. These people are really afraid. You wouldn't imagine what's happening with the souls in the city here in the Midwest of Detroit. And ultimately, I'm a
Are you in the Detroit area?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yeah, because I've heard a lot of stories that's come out of there, and I guess this economic thing has really taken a heavy toll on Detroit.
However, I believe it's very strategic. I believe it's strategic.
Yeah.
I believe that it's a bigger goal that's wanted here. Ultimately, a lot of the people are not willing to wake up voluntarily, kind of like what happened in Louisiana, certain other parts of the country, and
right.
the people that are not ready to go with the flow of the New World Order, to gain more intelligence, to fight for survival intellectually, things of that nature, the government is trying to completely just wipe it out and try and start over. You know, and ultimately, a lot of people are in fear, and a lot of people have gravitated to me, and they hold my hand, and they tell me, thank you, or they say, you're so strong, you're such a leader, or you're so beautiful, or whatnot, and I'm just looking like, you know, I feel like I'm just an average person. However, many people have reached out to me for help, and I'm just like, it's something I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe this book is what I'm supposed to be doing.
That is so interesting because, you know, I'm getting visions, you know, seeing you, you know, working with these groups, you know, working with these people. And it's almost similar what I'm getting, you know, and what my guides are telling me that you have to be careful, you know, on how you approach this because, again, you know, there are other sources, you know, that are trying to prevent that. So, you know, the way you want to present it is like life coaching, you know, so that it's not being targeted at you as some kind of, you know, you're trying to, well, you know what happened to Martin Luther King, you know.
Yes, sir, and it's weird that you mentioned that because I thought about that as I was creating a website. And a political activist website, and then I thought that, whoa, I may become a target. And I was actually looking, and I saw that my email had been hacked, and I'm like, okay, you know, maybe I need to try and approach this in another tactic so that way I will not be America's most wanted enemy or something of that nature when I'm
only
trying
is
to...
You don't want to... become a high profile.
Okay, I see.
Okay.
I see.
And do you know what I mean by that?
Maybe in a sense of being political or like media attention.
Yeah,
okay.
And then usually what ends up happening is they try to make a martyr out of you. That's how they target, you know, people that have those kind of abilities, you know. Main thing is to cover your tracks, you know, do it in a way that you can still get the message out there, but they're not, you know, coming after you.
I see.
You know, and that's
Thank
what my guys
that.
Are telling me. Yeah.
I think that is, like, the most awesome advice that anyone has ever gave me. And it's almost like an affirmation and a confirmation that what I'm feeling like I'm being instructed to do is the right thing. However, to do it in a less intrusive way where the people of power will not take me as a terrorist or a threat to their mission. Because ultimately, I just want to help my people. I just want to help the ones that are lost and not just African-Americans. However, African-Americans are the ones that are most lost because we're not as united as Arabians, Syrians, or Hispanics, or Asians, or other people of other cultures. So it's just like you just wouldn't imagine how they're roaming, almost like, you know, confused. And ultimately, African-Americans are Africans in general are the most spiritual aside from the Jews. And inherently, you know, African Americans were supposed to, are supposed to inherit the promised land, the gift of God, being the descendants of Abraham. You know, however, we have to wake up and enter the higher dimensions in order to